Hello, church family, actual family. Good to see everybody here. Thanks for having me. Yep, my tank up here. We're talking about trying different things. I'm here both just trying to figure out what works here, but also it'll be different from the first time I taught. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight is family business, or I guess better way to put it is ancestor business. Tonight's subject I'd like to go over is generational curses. This is a topic that kind of goes against our typical mindset in some ways, so I just felt led to teach about it to make sure it's well understood. Because sometimes we do need to get these kinds of generational things cleaned up to take care of both the effects of sin in us and, in these cases, to keep them from continuing to pass on to the generations after us. So the idea here, what we're going over specifically, is that the sins that our ancestors committed can have an impact on us. The term generational curse is the shortest way to put it, but if you just say that, a lot of people might have different interpretations of what that could mean. Maybe a better way to describe it, and what I'm focusing on tonight, is a generational iniquity that carries a curse with it. Not all sin causes a generational curse. I'm going to be distracted by the cuteness over there. It's adorable. But when it does, the curse part is an afflicting spirit, a demon, which is enforcing the curse. We'll get to that a little more in a bit. We know this is an issue scripturally in both places where the Ten Commandments were given. The Lord, as he's making himself known, right along with that, he describes himself as a jealous God, to the point that he visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him. On the plus side, the blessings for those who love him extend far beyond that many generations. So we can at least be thankful for his being merciful and not letting the consequences of these kinds of sins go on that long. He probably had to, otherwise we probably wouldn't be lasting very long. But from what we've seen in ministry and heard about in testimonies, the effects of generational curses really do tend to drop off after the third or fourth generation. So we don't normally need to be concerned about things that happen beyond that. There are exceptions here and there. I might mention a couple later. That's just why I'm not saying always here. Now, for some of us, it seems kind of unfair that we would have to pay the price for things we didn't even do. But, well, it's kind of just how things are, so better to get used to it and be serious about cleaning that stuff up if it needs to. What's interesting to me, actually, is how this has even been confirmed, backed up in the scientific world. You can pretty easily start thinking of examples of maybe where families, where pretty much everyone has some kind of, well, like they're all smokers or addicts in some form or fashion. And you can, obviously a lot of that is environmental for sure. There's the social aspect where you'll obviously have a better chance of trying smoking in the first place if everyone else around you is doing it. But that's not the whole story. There have been studies done involving a process called DNA methylation. There's your word for the day. And how past generations affect it. I'm not an expert on this, but it's just fascinating to me. Methylation of DNA is a normal process in our cells. It doesn't change our DNA itself, but it affects how our genes, which are the ones we get from our ancestors, are expressed. which genes are chosen and active. There's no reason to go much deeper into explaining it, but studies have shown that some things like severe trauma and negative behavioral patterns, like addictions, can be passed on through the combination of our genes and this methylation process, which can, for example, make us more likely to become addicted to something. I like things like this where God tells us how things work thousands of years ago, and then the medical community goes and validates it for us. These generational issues, when it's this kind of thing, it may not even be seen in some folks. The curse that's being passed down could be dormant in one person and then pops up in the next generation. And even when a curse does manifest itself, they could manifest in different ways, just depending on the person. So then how do we know when we need to do some kind of cleanup of generational issues? Well, we certainly don't have to deal with every sin our ancestors committed, thank goodness. We're concerned about the generational iniquity that carries a curse with it, like we said earlier. Once a sin crosses that line, whatever it is, and isn't dealt with, the curse that comes along is a demon, an afflicting spirit. It's the one that enforces the consequences of sin on down the family line. It's the one causing the havoc. For the sake of getting ourselves cleaned up, I think it's wise to take a bit of an inventory of the things, at least that we're aware of, that have gone on up the family tree. Then God can point out anything he wants us to deal with. In my experience, it's just a lot easier for God to get my attention by lighting up or illuminating something that I'm already aware of, instead of him having to plant a completely new thought in my mind. Although, obviously, there's still a hope if you don't even know your parents or your ancestors. We just have to lean on him to reveal anything that he does want to clean up. Now, keep in mind that we are only talking about the sins of our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, possibly great-great-great-grandparents, which is good because I'm close to family, but I still don't even really know what went on with the great-great-grandparents. And there's kind of a rule of thumb you can follow when it comes to sins to watch out for. There seems to be a higher chance for a generational curse to land when the sin is particularly violent, sexual in nature, or deals with the occult. Violent, sexual, or occult. Violence can range from severe physical or even verbal abuse to abortion counts, to obviously things like murder or suicide. Sexual sin is self-explanatory, though you might be surprised at some things we've seen where a curse is possible, things that are actually very common in today's society. And even with us who are more cognizant about sin and know what God wants for our lives, the more we see stuff that goes against him, the easier it kind of becomes for us to just accept that as this is just the way things are. But it's important to keep in mind that while our tolerance level might change, God's standards don't change. Important to keep in mind. For the occult, it's pretty easy for generational curses to come into play, possibly even for small things like just messing around with a Ouija board, but much more likely if you have an ancestor who was a practicing medium, for example. There's all kinds of different examples I could list out, and again, you'd probably be surprised at some of the things that can carry a curse because of how common they are. I just don't want to spend too much time on them. They're just some guidelines here. So, with that in mind, when we're looking for the root of a problem for ourselves or someone else who needs healing, it can be a little more obvious with some conditions that a generational issue is at play. A little more obviously, if it's a condition that you're born with, it is a pretty good indicator. Just keep in mind that there are very few times where we can say always or never with these kinds of things. In fact, before Jesus healed a man who was blind from birth in John 9, his followers went ahead and jumped to the conclusion, oh, his ancestors must have sinned, and that's why he was born blind. Jesus didn't rebuke that line of reasoning, but in this case he said, oh, actually, he was born this way so that the Lord could be glorified by his healing. So it's not always a guarantee. Another indicator that you may be dealing with a generational issue is when your family has a history of a certain condition. It could be a physical trend, like having a specific kind of cancer or a heart problem, or it could even be a history of a certain kind of mental issue. If the Lord reveals the generational iniquity that caused the curse coming down through the generations, it would be a good idea to get it taken care of on your end, even if the effects of it don't seem to be present in your life, because it could still come out in some way later or pass through you onto the next generation. Thankfully, yes, Jesus has provided us with the means to actually put a stop to these curses so they don't keep on going. And on that note, there are a couple nuances that I'd like to go over there. When we say we can put a stop to the curse with us so that it doesn't pass on, the next question that would come along is, so if I break the generational curse over me, does that break the curse over my kids? Unfortunately, the answer to that is no, not if they're living. And hopefully it makes more sense in the understanding that there's a spirit enforcing the curse that gets passed on. When it gets passed on to the next generation, it gets passed on at conception. So once a curse gets broken off of you, there won't be any curse to pass on to any children that you bear going forward. So that's what we mean by stopping it with you so it doesn't continue. You can still break it off your children, but that's a separate action. So with that, yeah, the next question would be, so then can I just pray to break it off my kids? For that one, it depends. As the parent, we always, as parents, have some level of spiritual authority over our children, no matter how old they are. But there seems to be a certain point where they need to take ownership of it themselves, and they'll need to pray for the curse to be broken. They'll need to do the repenting themselves. It would be a mistake to try and pin down, tell you exactly the point at which they have to do it themselves. We really don't know, but all I can say is it seems like the spiritual authority starts shifting when the child becomes aware of their own sin, when they become aware of the need for a savior, aware of God. Of course, once you've passed that point, it's going to be more trouble because then you'll need to explain the situation to them. Then they would need to make the choice to repent so the curse can be broken. So an encouragement for the young folks to get this taken care of before you get married. So you just don't even have to worry about dealing with that kind of stuff when kids come along. But in the meantime, for folks with kids, all hope is not lost. Never underestimate the power of a persistent parent's prayer over their children, no matter how old they are or what the need is. You can still do things like binding the spirits and forcing the curse to at least limit their influence. So with all that out of the way, how do we go about breaking generational curses? Well, we're dealing with sin, so the first step is repentance. It just kind of feels a little strange in this case because it's not a sin we ourselves committed. But we are the descendants of the one who sinned. We are of their blood. We bear the burden of that sin. So, as I would say it, we have to stand in the gap for the ancestor who sinned, whether they ever even acknowledged the sin or not. We name the sinner who sinned. We name the sin with our mouths, acknowledge what happened, and repent on their behalf. We ask for forgiveness. Next comes the actual curse breaking. We proclaim the curse to be broken, that it ends with us, and that it will not continue on to further generations. Remember, the curse is a spirit, so this part is deliverance. I strongly recommend, when it comes to deliverance, having someone else there to pray with you. Just kind of a general guideline is God can certainly divinely deliver folks from spirits. It absolutely does happen, but it's much more effective when someone else is breaking you out of your prison. To help remind us of the processes, a good way to remember what we do when it comes to deliverance, I like these three words to remember. We renounce, reject, and eject. The first two, renounce and reject, are for the one receiving deliverance to pray. The last one, eject, is when the other person who's praying for you takes over. So step one, we renounce. I renounce the spirit enforcing the curse on me. If you can just kind of go by the sin, if it's like a spirit of suicide, I renounce suicide. I will have nothing to do with it from this day forward. So we've already done the repentance part. Part of that is renouncing the sin, that we would never do that again. But here we are specifically targeted, focused on the spirit. We are renouncing this spirit and its influences. Then I reject, which is similar. I reject any and all benefits the spirit brought me, as well as all of its curses. In the case of a generational curse, there's probably not going to be any positive benefits from your point of view. This is just kind of how to go about rejecting in general, because many times we do come into agreement with demons because we're deceived into believing we can benefit from them in some way. I guess an example that would be more obvious would be like the spirit medium example. Those people tend to deliberately try to pass their gift on to either a specific person or just to their next generation. And in some lenses, I guess, you could call this a gift, the ability to see and talk to spirits. Came out in, okay. So that is a perceived benefit that we are rejecting here. But the idea is we are just breaking all possible ties with the spirit. It just helps the whole process go a lot more smoothly when it comes to actually kicking it out. So we reject all the benefits, both actual and perceived, and we reject all the damage the spirit is causing. Then the last step is eject. The one needing deliverance stops and lets the one praying with them take over. They will break the afflicting spirit's power over them and cast it out for good. Then there's the cleanup step after, once it's gone, if healing is needed, and it hasn't already happened by this point, command healing, pray for a fresh infilling of Holy Spirit, and just let him minister to you. Pray to shut all the doors that had been opened to let in the unclean spirits. that takes care of the process. And I wanted to keep this a little shorter and maybe try a little something new. I guess first, are there any questions before we, yes? So the question is, what about siblings and things like that? So I guess let's try for an example. Like if a grandparent caused this curse and you break the curse off yourself, which is good, but then you're wanting to know about your siblings, or are you worrying about wanting to know about sin that your siblings commit?
Mm-hmm. And in
other family members, cousins, and stuff. Yeah.
How can you? And are you able to address it?
Right. I just wanted to make sure I totally understood. But yeah, and the answer is it's tough because I've broken some curses over myself, my family, and I know my siblings need to do it too, but they're just not receptive. It's not like they're completely rejecting it, they just, it doesn't seem important, like why do we even need to worry about this kind of thing? Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they would need to be aware of it, and then they'd need to go through the same process of repenting, and then breaking, and then you can pray to break the curse once they've repented. But it's not easy. Hopefully that answers the question. Anything else? Yeah. Moses, when we're doing the Ten Commandments, yeah.
So, but then in Ezekiel, it talks about basically if you're righteous, you live. If you're not righteous, you face the penalty for it. And then if we're in Christ, then we're a new creation, so that would be a different lineage. I'm just trying to wrap my brain. Mm-hmm. Where does that have legal right or access or whatever for these persons to land? Mm-hmm. I'm a new creation in Christ and I'm living righteously and I'm walking with the Lord.
Right. Yeah, and we could. Yeah, so just for the folks who will be listening to the recording, the question is about, and just to make sure I'm understanding. the question is about, how if we are a new creation, God says this stuff, he's visiting sins onto the third and fourth generations and the Ten Commandments back in the Old Testament, and then we have even go forward to Jesus who fulfilled all of these. Yeah, I guess for that, unless someone wants to, who has more of a theological, I would have to look at maybe context and to get the full understanding that. That's just a specific.
This is a good question, and we've talked about, I didn't know he was going to teach on this tonight, but we've talked about this subject before, or I wouldn't have let him teach. There is a lot of Christians who do not believe generational curses can be passed down. In my years, I just don't see it. I mean, it happens. You see divorce run through families. Maybe it's all nature versus whatever, or environmental.
I've got a couple testimones, too.
But you see anger, you see all kinds of things, alcoholism. But I believe in it. If you don't, it's okay. This is not a throwing it down your throat. But In terms of your question, Romans 12:1 says, renew your mind daily. If you're a new creature, why do you have to renew your mind? So you have to look at Scripture. Some of them are positional statements of we're seated at the right hand of the Father God. Well, I'm telling you, if I was actually seated, I am in my spirit, I can go there. But here on earth, if I was seated at the right hand of the Father God all the time, I would never sin. I would be totally healed because you're in His presence. So it's this battle that I cannot fully explain between what your positional strength is with the Lord and then what we're working on earth to get to that positional strength, if that makes sense. And so you think through it. And this is what I'm going to tell you. You're not going to resolve it. You will reach a place where this is where I believe because I've got to come down on something. And so on this particular thing, I believe that you do have generational sin because there's some pastors I've talked to in the city that don't believe it. Well, that's fine. Our goal is not to get you to believe it. Our goal is to get you whole.
Yep.
And I have found that this does help. Is it just an experience? I think you can prove it biblically, but that's probably for another time. But is it just an experiential thing? I don't know. It seems to work. But there are things in us that, yes, I'm positioned with Christ, but I need a lot of work done. Does that you agree with that?
Yeah, I like that answer.
I wanted to add to the answer because one of the things that I have found is that even though, for example, a child is innocent and stuff, when they get to the age of accountability and they can fall in some of the traps that their parents fell into, and then the curse connects. And a lot of times you fall into some of those habits, behaviors, traps, thinking, because you grow up with these people and you grow up in this setting. And before you know it, you're a part of that agreement. So there are different ways that you sign your name onto the agreement. And so, yes, you become a Christian, but you literally do have to change your thoughts and your behavior so that the curse doesn't land anymore.
And so you're going to have to wrestle with this, Amber. This is not an indoctrination thing. It's to train us up. I was trained and grew up that Christians have no demonic influence around them, on them, around them, in them. And many of you have heard my testimony. And so because of those kind of, you know, we're positionally with Christ. Well, at 24, I had such a spirit of lust. It was consuming me way beyond just normal lust. And I won't go through the story, but somebody said, you're being affected by a demon. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't use those words, but I'm at this place, Christianity, the Spirit of God. And they said, you can do what you want, but I'm going to pray a simple prayer if you want, and you'll see a difference. So he prayed a simple prayer. Even though I'm a Christian, these things aren't supposed to affect me. I was walking to the best of my knowledge, and I'm telling you, it was like a weight was lifted off of me. It took me years to get my theology to line up with what I had. And so you're going to have, that's a great question. Keep asking it. It's like predestination versus free will. You'll probably never get a total answer, and you're just going to have to sort of figure out where to stop in the middle.
Yep.
Or where, what you can live with.
Like it or not, what we believe a bunch of paradoxes. It doesn't make sense in our normal, in this world here, these rules. Just think about the Trinity. Three different people in one at the same time, and yeah. just generational iniquity that carries a curse with it, that one? Okay. The curse is just kind of like another word for a spirit, a demon that's actually enforcing the consequences of that sin down the generational line. Yeah. Yeah, I can.
It says that certain demons can only be cast out through fasting and prayer. Mm. I don't know if that was talking on account. I can't remember what it says and which types. But.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we can talk more about when on the subject of deliverance, of how certain demons can be are cast out different ways. That kind of seems to come with experience. We always go into ministry believing that Jesus wants this person healed and whole right now. If Jesus were to walk into the room, this person's getting fully healed. So this is, it kind of gives us the boldness to step into commanding that healing. But yeah, sometimes it seems like they're having a hard time coming out. Like manifesting, you know there's a spirit there, but then we don't actually get it out. And it could be for a number of different reasons. That is a great scripture to remember. If you cannot think, God's not telling you anything else as far as what might be giving it purchase to hang on, then you can just say, why don't we take a break and fast and pray, both the person receiving and the people who are praying, and then let's come back at it later. So yeah, that's a good question. Any other questions? Cool. Well, I also, I was going to
comment out before you go on, is because this is a training time. This is master's level classes, okay? It's not new believers type classes. But that's where we're at, and the Lord wants us to make us whole. Don't go seeking these things, but if there's a pattern in your life that you can't get victory over, like me with the lust when I was in my 20s, I mean, I did the fasting. I did all that jazz. I did whatever my Christian grid would let me do. And so, if things you're praying and things are happening and you can't get victory in certain areas, then this is where your mind can wander and go, do I need some prayer in a certain area with somebody else? I need somebody else. Is there something bigger than just going on? Because we fight sin every day, okay? We're not talking about that, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but use it not to get overly introspective, but it may be the solution to something you've been battling for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. I may not have stressed it a lot in this one, last one. I need to make it a habit of making sure everyone knows this isn't time to write down a list of everything and then we need to take care of all of this at once kind of thing. It is, like I said, wise to kind of take inventory of what's gone on when it comes to your own healing, just in case God wants to point it out. But we're not getting the whole list and trying to take care of all of it now. God accepts you the way you are now. He does want you whole, but He's with you for the process, and it takes time. I was trying to think. I have a couple of testimonies. I feel like sharing personal testimonies are the most powerful. But, of course, that means this is generational stuff. So I'm here with family. So I kind of wanted to be a little sensitive to that. If I share anything, I would not name names, obviously. I wouldn't do that anyway when it comes to testimonies. Yeah. No, it's you. No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay to share. Just maybe yes. One. Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure I'm being sensitive.
You said it was parents, grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not you. It could be them. But yeah. All right, so the first time I was learning about this, it kind of encouraged us, like, while you're listening to this, did anything come to your mind, like maybe one thing that you would like to, let's just practice and get it taken care of now? And the one thing that popped up into my mind is, with my ancestors, there is suicide there. And it's, yeah, there's, of course, all kinds of stuff, but that popped in, so, like, okay. I've never really had any, like, suicidal thoughts or tormented by that, but I'm like, if it's there, let's see if it's there, and I want to get it taken care of. And I normally wouldn't share, like, how a demon manifested or anything, but I was just kind of coming up, like, well, I just want to see if this works, like, if this is actually a thing. And so we went through that process, repenting and deliverance. During the deliverance part, I didn't really feel anything at first. It was like, okay, well, I guess maybe it's gone if there's something there. And then all of the sudden, it's hard to describe, but my body started reacting as if I was not able to breathe. I was coughing really hard, and even though another part of my brain was telling me, I can breathe, I'm fine. It's just kind of a weird sensation. I would not normally, again, glorify the manifestation of a demon. I just feel it's important because it meant something. Number one, there was obviously a spirit there and it needed to be taken care of. So from then on, it's like, okay, I'm sold. And obviously, too, thankfully, I hadn't had kids yet, but I just, yeah, things like that as a dad, like, absolutely, if this stuff is even a chance of being in me, I do not want that kind of stuff going through to my kids. I just can't even imagine having to deal with that if suicide were to come up again. Hi, big boy. But the other interesting, the part that sealed the deal with it is, it didn't occur to me till later, but the person who committed suicide, it was carbon monoxide poisoning. So it was kind of crazy, like, afterwards, like, oh, wow, that was exactly how they died. So, yes, there were actually two, which I guess ministry tips to learn from this testimony. When it comes to deliverance, there's not always just one spirit. In fact, there could certainly be more than one. So don't just stop at one. Yeah, we got it. Let's go home. When it comes to kicking out the enemy, we ought to be, the objective should be clearing the room, not just taking one out. So it's more like, yay, one's gone, who's next, kind of a thing, if there's anyone else hanging onto this sin. Because, I don't want to get too deep into, like, just talking about deliverance stuff, but yes, that is one. There's another that I would love to share. I might have to just kind of lean on your wisdom. I feel like sharing it would be kind of poking a beehive, but it's good. maybe I should just hold it off because I'm feeling a little bit hesitant about it.
Do you have it written up here?
No. I could turn the mic off and whisper.
Well, now everybody's curious.
Yeah, maybe I should have asked beforehand. This is
poke
not the best.
Beehive.
Yeah, poke the beehive. All right. This would be an example of one of those things I said earlier that is very common nowadays, but according to God's standards is still an issue and can cause a curse. So the problem, this was like fast forward after learning about generational stuff. We had just had our third child, Adeline. Adeline was, I don't remember exactly, maybe 2 months? 2 months? She was still really little. Adeline started getting a really bad case of eczema. So it was pretty rough. From the outside of her arm, from the shoulder down to her wrist, was just red, and it felt like sandpaper to touch. It was a pretty bad case. And we did go to the doctor. They gave us steroid cream, and it did work to calm it down, but as soon as we stopped it, it would just flare right back up. And it was painful to watch our little one as she was starting to get hand control, trying to scratch at it all the time. So then God, as we were learning more about this ministry stuff, we were hearing more testimonies about the one specifically that we heard was this person who also had a skin issue. I don't think it was eczema, but learned that the sin, the part that caused the curse to carry on, was that they had an ancestor who was conceived outside the bonds of marriage. So outside of a wedding bond, one of their ancestors was conceived. Again, that's another thing. That's, like I said, it's very common nowadays. But in that case, that was enough for a curse to land. And this person, once they repented on that person's behalf and broke the curse, it was gone the next day. And with that testimony, it popped into my head, oh, actually, yeah, I have... One of my ancestors was conceived outside of wedlock. So, yeah, absolutely, let's try this. And sure enough, when we repented on the person's behalf, we broke the curse off of our little Adeline. The rash disappeared over the course of 3 days, and she's not needed any kind of steroid cream since. So this stuff is real. That's what I'm hoping to get across with sharing these kinds of testimonies. You want to say something?
No.
I don't know. If there's any interest, we could also have people walk through breaking.
So let's do this. So, yeah, we'll do that. So let's do this. So one of the keys of his thing was he's listening to Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit told him about the ancestor with a skin disease. That's your first step. So listen to Holy Spirit and see if he says anything. And then follow it with humility. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not the end of the world. And so let's do this. For those that need to go, well, officially in. Those that need to go can go, or want to go can go. And then he's going to stay here,